Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about something very interesting. No one really knows how to explain why do Jews dress the way they do. For generations, Jews had a certain appearance. Where does this come from? What does it symbolize? Why do people have a yarmulke? Why do they have sidelocks? But why? We don't know. We'd like to take a deeper look into these things and see whether this is something that can improve our life, even if we're not religious. Nitza, please. Yeah. So like you said, a Jewish religious person is someone that you can immediately identify according to what he's wearing. And I was in an interesting situation where my husband and I were both in the tourism industry, and we got on a flight with a couple of our Italian friends, and next to us was sitting a religious couple wearing the traditional garments, and these friends of ours, they kept asking questions about it. Why the yarmulke? Why the sidelocks? And what does each of these things mean? And what are the fringes coming from the garment? And really, they wanted to get answers, and I didn't know what to say. But in general, I said that all these signs are things that have to remind a Jewish person about his connection with God. And I really hope that today, after this show, we'll be able to give an answer to the tourism industry. Yeah. And it's interesting because people ask me about my nation, and I have no idea what to say, which is pretty shameful. It's shameful that a Jew that grew up in Israel, that he doesn't know what a Jew is, and he also doesn't know what the land of Israel is. It's a big problem that this nation has. And along with it, they're proud. We're proud that this is how we are. Modern. Modern, it doesn't mean to be disconnected from your roots. Modern, it means that from the roots, you continue into the modern world, but you're still connected, you suckle from that root. And because we don't have that, this is how we look, externally wise and also internally wise. So I'd like to ask about the externality. Probably there is a connection between the externality and the internality. So the first question would be, what characterizes us as Jewish people is the yarmulke, the kippah. Men wear yarmulkes. What does it symbolize? First of all, we have to understand the kippah, the yarmulke, is a symbol that a person has the fear of heavens, that he is under the burden of the kingdom of heavens, that there is someone above him. And that's also where the hat comes from, and other covers in different times and generations, where there were these, and there were those, this symbol, the sign, partially passed on also to other religions, and it all stems from me accepting upon myself the burden of the kingdom of heavens, that there is someone above me. It's a kind of declaration. There are much deeper things about it, the screen and so on, but in short, by this, I as if limit myself, restrict myself, and I say that above me, there is a mind, an emotion, a dominion, and that I'm under it. So this is what covering the head means? Yes. And also, it's a sign that I'm under someone's control. Suppose, if I talk to someone who's greater than me, and I have a hat, and I have the yarmulke, then I can't take off the hat. Because that means that I disregard him then. Wait a second, again, suppose you talk to someone. It's the opposite than how it is in Christianity. That in Christianity we take off the hat and I take my hat off before you and so on. Yeah. It's as if I'm serving you my head that you can cut it off. In Judaism, there's no such thing. In Judaism, when I want to respect someone, I have the hat on and I don't take it off. You don't. No. Why? Why? Because by this I show that person how much I respect him more than I respect myself. Good, so you're introducing another level. It's not only the burden of the kingdom of heavens, also towards a great person. Suppose I meet some great person, I come to meet him, then besides the yarmulke, I also put on a hat. And that shows respect. Yeah. Okay, you said that the kippah symbolizes that... Sorry, I'll tell you. Suppose I'm standing next to some person and it's really hot, or I have some reason to take off the hat, then I ask his permission. I say, forgive me, but I'm taking off my hat with your permission. Yeah, meaning so that he won't think that by this I disrespect him. Because it might be seen as some kind of disregard. Previously you said that the kippah, the yarmulke, symbolizes that there is someone above the person, some reason, emotion, control. What is that? That we are under a higher degree, which is the Creator, that's above us, that's controlling everything, that there's none else besides Him, that controls all of our thoughts, desires, and actions, whatever a person does, did, will do, thinks, thought, or will think, and all his actions and mind and heart, whatever thought a person has or action he does, it always comes from the upper force. And it's not that the thoughts or desires or the actions come from the person himself. No such thing. We are operated and only. And therefore, first of all, I accept upon myself the burden of the kingdom of heavens. What does that mean? That in short, I'm operated like a puppet on strings. That's how it's operated. This is what the yarmulke symbolizes. Not only the yarmulke, but first and foremost. Now, when I tell myself that I'm a puppet on strings, it's really degrading. Degrading? If it's nature, why is it degrading? If by nature I have to eat, I have to go to the lavatory, to sleep, to do other things with my body, like an animal, does that degrade me? What I have to do? I have to. It doesn't. Same thing here. What comes from nature? It comes from nature. We're created beings. We are. It comes from nature. So someone's in control of my thoughts, desires, emotions from above. Then I have to see, examine, inquire, discover it. And then, if it's so, then I already become wiser in this respect. I start understanding, feeling. Not like a person on the street that doesn't know who or what he is, walking around like a dog on the street, not knowing what he's living for. I want to achieve the recognition of the Creator who is operating me, and what can I do correspondingly? Maybe I'll find some point in which I can be free of him, that I can find some actions, thoughts, desires in which I can be free, and if not free, then at least to acknowledge the fact. Can I discover this force that's operating me? Of course. That's the entire purpose of the development of the Jews in this world. Why is the yarmulke on the head? The head is the highest place in a person. Why don't you put the kippah on the hand or somewhere? First of all, because it's the head. It's the thoughts, the intentions. What is man? It's his head. Yeah, there are really many things that revive around the head. The head and the face. So what does the yarmulke actually symbolize, that it covers a person's thoughts? What does it do? It doesn't cover, but it symbolizes. It doesn't cover anything. It doesn't limit your thoughts. It symbolizes that I accept the kingdom of the burden of heavens upon myself. The word ol, which in Hebrew means both burden and also yoke, it's something that you put on a bull or a donkey. So what does it mean that I put on a yarmulke? And it symbolizes that I want to accept the burden of the kingdom of heavens. What is there? Because by that, I'm connected to the upper force, and I start working with it in partnership. I examine, what does he want? And are my desires like his? And what does he think? And are my thoughts like his? What does he do? And are my actions like his? And then I understand that one way or another, I'll be 100% controlled by him, because he's the creator and I'm the created being. But if I will discover a desire of my own to be both in thoughts, desires, intentions, actions, to be like him, then through these means, by thought, talk, action, I will attain what does he want from me, why does he want it specifically from myself, what is his intention? And through that, through your actions, do we know you? I'll get to know him. I'll get to know the upper force, which is on a higher degree than myself. And by that, I will rise to his degree. So it's not a burden. It's an elevator. Right. But what does it come from? It comes by accepting that which already exists in nature, his dominion, complete control over me. So from what I understand, the yarmulke symbolizes that as if I put over my head some kind of a reference point with respect to which I start examining two things. What does he want? And are my desires similar to his? What does he think? Do I think like him? You remember the donkey? My grandfather had a donkey. Great. So he put the ol, the yoke, or the burden on him, and the reins, yes. So the ol is on the head, and the reins to the right or to the left, and I want it to be precisely over me. But I do it out of my own free will, because I'm drawn towards yichud, connection with him. And this is also why I'm called a Yehudi, a Jew, which originates from the word yichud, connection, that I aspire to be united with the one that controls me. What do you mean, to unite? To unite, to connect, as it says, make your desires like his, make your thoughts like his, and so on. Meaning by that, I elevate myself to the degree of the Creator. How? By accepting upon myself the burden of the kingdom of heavens. Which means what? That I want for the Creator to control me, because through his control over me, I can get to know him. And what does it mean that he controls me? That I want to feel how he does it. He controls everything. The upper force controls everything. It's a higher degree. All the forces, all the strengths that control us come from there. None of us is doing anything. Everything that happens in our body, in the still vegetative and in the animate, and also in ourselves and in our hearts and our minds, everything. We're getting the feed from above. Everything. Now, in order to get to know the upper and to rise to his degree, I have to become aware of it, and I want to feel it, and I want to get closer to him, to find him. What is he doing now? What does he want from me? What kind of actions is he performing? Suppose I do this with my hands now, and I have a certain thought, and I talk to you. I want to examine each of these things and to unite with him this way. What does it mean to unite? To first of all, justify him for doing it and to understand why is he doing it, what's the use, what's the benefit, what's the goal, what's the final purpose, where is he drawing me by these reins? Why does the yarmulke cover the head? It covers the head. It's a symbol that I put him first. First to whom? Before myself. Before my head, my desires. Of course, all of my thoughts, desires, everything comes from him. Everything that I do, it comes from him. Mister, I'm asking you, where does your desire suddenly come from? I don't know. It's true that you don't know. Where do you suddenly get a certain thought from? I don't know. It simply comes. Yeah, it comes. That's how it is. Where does it come from? With the wind. So where does it come from? From a higher degree. Because we're in a general system. The higher degree works on the lower degree, influences the lower degree. It all works according to the different degrees, and by identifying that someone's operating me, and by identifying with him, reaching his degree, then I see how it works. I was on a lower degree. I was operated on a lower degree. Now I ascended, and I understand how the operator works. So I unite with the Creator on his degree, and I see Michael down below, the way he is being operated. It's interesting to see myself from above, how you're operated on the degree of the donkey, by or from the human degree. Why? It's customary that also people that don't wear a yarmulke, when they go to holy places or to a funeral, a person puts on a yarmulke, even secular people. Yeah, usually every secular person has a yarmulke in his car. Maybe I'll need it for some funeral or something. Right. Jews have many different signs, symbols, externally wise, but it seems that the yarmulke is the thing. Yes, it's the thing. Why? Throughout all of history, we took on the clothing of the different people among whom we lived. Were you ever to Yemen? I was never to Yemen, but I know how they dress. So they wear a dress, a long dress. This is their original clothes. And this is also what our forefathers wore with the jalabiya and all these things. If you look at photos from the beginning of the 20th century here in Israel, you'll see Jews dressed this way, dressed in this long white garment. That's how it was. And therefore, what you wear isn't that important. The main thing is that it'll be modest, that it'll cover the body. But the yarmulke, it symbolizes that you are under the burden of the kingdom of heavens. There's no Jew without a yarmulke. Okay, I want to ask about this some more. Probably these are very deep matters, but I'll ask anyway. What you can explain, great. What you can't, say it's too deep. I want to understand this on a basic level. You said that the yarmulke, it symbolizes, I don't know, you said some kind of a screen, some kind of a... What is that? A masach in Hebrew. Why am I going back to that? Because you said that there are many symbols. Jews have many symbols, but the yarmulke, the kippah, is the thing. Why? But in simple words, you know, many things, but I want it for children. We begin the recognition of God from our state. What do you mean? Where I'm here, in this world. And therefore, in this world, we have determined different signs for ourselves, where these signs, they have to protect us, also not to mix too much with the rest of the world, and also to remind us about the different things that it's preferable for us not to forget, but to be tightly connected to them. The yarmulke is the most important thing, because the most important thing is a person's head, his thoughts, the different thoughts you have running around in your mind, and therefore we have to direct all of these thoughts to one source, to the source that is directing us, that is really keeping us, which is the Creator. That's how it is. So, therefore, we need the yarmulke, some kind of a cover for the head. Yeah, it could be a piece of cloth. Usually that's how it was. Yeah, the Yemenians had this, like, and the Arabs, they have the same. It's a different color, so what? But actually, it was a kind of piece of cloth for men, for women. Another question. My grandmother in Russia, and later on she came to Israel, I never saw her without something covering her hair. I never saw my grandfather without this, yeah, this kind of a hat. Not the religious kind like they wear here in Israel, but in Russia. My grandparents, the same. I never saw my grandmother without something covering her hair, and I never saw my grandfather without a hat. Okay, previously you said that I have to examine what does this upper force want, that I don't exactly know yet what the upper force is, and what do I want? What does he think? What do I think? What do I think? What do I want? This I know. No, you don't know that either. Okay, so explain, please. And our time's almost up. So you said upper force, the one force that operates and activates everything. What is that force? Nature. Okay, so what do I examine towards nature? What is its plan? What is the plan of nature? I want to know. Why? Because nature is controlling me. It wants some kind of a response from me. If I'm performing his desire correctly, if I carry out his actions correctly, then I think that I probably benefit as a result. If I don't understand its plans or his plans, and I don't realize them correctly, then I lose. Therefore, what does Judaism teach us? God in Gematria equals nature. It's one and the same. The upper force is nature. Judaism teaches us how can we really live in harmony with the world that we live in, as much as we can. And thanks to that, to this day, we're alive and we protect ourselves with all the different horrific things that we went through. What does living in harmony with the world that I live in and accepting the control of the upper force over myself have to do with each other? It's the same thing. It's the same force. Nature controls me in all ways, shapes, and forms by thousands of threads that I don't feel completely operating me, and I have to respond to that. And my response to the way that that force operates me, there are two options. Either I behave according to what I feel like, according to my donkey, or I can shape my response according to my human part. And if I rise above the donkey to the Adam, the human level, and I position myself this way, then I'm an Adam, a human being, in Hebrew also meaning to be similar to the upper force. Adam from the word domeh, resembling the upper force. So I have these two levels inside of me. One you call the donkey and the other is the human being. Yes, we consist of two. What is my upper level that you call an Adam, a human being? Does it have to do with a yarmulke that I want to connect with upper force? To the extent to which you copy the upper force upon yourself, you're called an Adam. To the extent to which you follow your body, correspondingly, you'll be called a donkey. What does it mean to copy upon myself the upper force? For this, you have to learn what he is. You have to learn what he is. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us. What is he? Love another as thyself. This is the rule of the whole of nature. What does love another as thyself have to do with it? You're saying that there is a general force? This general force is the force of love and bestowal. And therefore, this is how we have to behave. I didn't understand what you just said. Up till now, you said that I have to search for that force that's operating me. There's a force that's operating me. Now you said that if I want to be like that force, I have to be and love another as thyself. Because that upper force is in complete bestowal towards all of the created beings. What is bestowal? Bestowal, it means that he bestows only good upon them. Okay, and what does that mean with respect to me? And therefore, if you want to be like him, you also have to bestow only good to all other created beings. And this will bring you to identify with the upper force. And then, from all your actions, you'll start to get to know him. You'll start to get to know him in you. To the extent to which you will be like him, you will get to know him. And what does that give me? It allows you to identify with the upper force so much that you start living according to his rules, his laws. And you really continue his actions in the world, and it reaches a state where you simply become completely included in him. You rise from the degree of the donkey to the degree of the Adam, of the human that is included in the Creator. Last question. I grew up in a religious home. I went to a yeshiva. I get up in the morning. I put a yarmulke on my head. What should I think about tomorrow morning when I put the yarmulke on my head? That you want to become like the Creator. As it says, repent, people of Israel, up to the Creator, your God. And what does it mean to be like the Creator? To be good and benevolent as he is. Dr. Leitman, our time's up. Thank you very much. We thought we'd talk about a few more things, but the yarmulke is the most important thing, so we're fine. So thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.